one.
Well, I'm Mr. Bill Squibb. I was one of a family of seven, and I was born up at Old Roman Road, right opposite Teddy Ainge's blacksmith shop.
What year was that?
1912.
Right.
And when I was 3 years old, my older brothers and sisters used to bring me to school.
Yes.
So that was why I said I sat down in here when I was 3 years old.
Yes.
They used to have to carry me a part of the way, and I stayed here with Frank Smith, headmaster, till 1926. And in 1917, my dad, who was about 40 years of age, the politicians promised that a man at that age would not be sent to France to fight. And a man who had a large family would not be sent to France to fight. But in 1917, Dad was 40 years old. He was a father of seven children, and then they sent him to France. In 3 weeks, he was dead.
Oh,
yeah. And I don't like politicians to this day. And when the election's on and they call at the door, I ask them to leave. Because I've been a committed Christian for 70 years. I was a church preacher for 60 years. And I'm afraid that I shall say something to them which a Christian shouldn't say. So I ask them to go away. Because they forced me to grow up in poverty. They didn't give my mother, not only my mother, but all other widows who had children, they didn't give them a big enough pension to look after their children and themselves. And sorry, but it stayed with me all those years.
Yes.
Yeah. But I came here, Frank Smith was the headmaster, and he was still the headmaster when I left in 1926. And I didn't see him for a few years. When I left school, I went to work for the village baker, and his name was Baker. And I stayed with him for 6 years, and then I joined the Great Western Railway. And I spent 50 years with the Great Western Railway. I was, just after I joined the Great Western Railway when I was 20, walking up through St. Mary Street in Weymouth, I came face to face with Frank Smith.
Yes.
And I held my hand out to shake hands with him. He said, "Sorry, Bill, I can't shake hands with you. My bracers have broke, and if I take my hand out of my pocket, my trousers will fall down." Anyway, we stopped and had a little chat, and I said to him, "Do you remember the last thing you said to me at the last examinations that I'd been through with you? Do you remember what you said to me?" And he said, "No, but there was three sisters here named Clements. They lived in the house standing alone in the garden down the road. There's one house on its own. They lived in there. Violet was the youngest, Marjorie was the next one, and Elsie was the eldest, and Elsie was a teacher here for a few years. And Violet was about the same age as me, and she could beat me in anything at school except scripture. She couldn't. I was always topping scripture. So Frank Smith said to me at the last exams, he said, "Bill, you're top again in scripture. You'll have to be a clergyman." So when I met him in St. Mary Street in Weymouth, I said, "Well, you weren't far out, what you said to me. You told me that I had to be a clergyman." I said, "Well, I'm next door to it. I'm a chapel preacher." And I was a chapel preacher for 60 years.
Right.
And I joined the railway at Weymouth, and the railway moved me from Weymouth to Maid Newton, and then I started putting in for a promotion, and I went from Maid Newton to Somerset, halfway between Cheddar and Wells, my first signalman's job. And a couple of years after, I moved up into Wiltshire, again on promotion. And it took a couple of years up there, and I moved back into Dorset, again on promotion. And a couple of years back in Dorset, and I moved to Yeovil, again on promotion. So I'd spent 50 years with the Great Western Railway, but the last few years, the southern region took over up to Yeovil, and I was still stationed at Yeovil. And I'm quite happy to go anywhere and talk about my service with the Great Western Railway. But my mother used to say, Bill, if you can't say anything any good to anybody, don't say anything bad. So I said, I'll talk to you about the Great Western Railway. I prefer not to say anything about the Southern, because I'm doing what my mother told me not to do.
Pardon? What did you do for the railway when you started off? What was your job?
I was a porter at Weymouth when I started. And I was already started as a preacher in the chapels. And I was preaching at the old Congregational Church at Chickrell one Sunday evening. And after the service, I always used to walk to the door of the church to see the people as they went out, and if they wanted to have a go at me, they could. And a man and his wife was there, and he said, you helped me with my luggage yesterday when I arrived at Weymouth. So I thought, I got to get rid of this job, because he probably gave me a tip, didn't he? So then that was when I made up my mind that I was going to start looking for a promotion. And I was a signalman for over 40 years. And I finished up as being appointed station master at Marston Magna. And I enjoyed every minute with the Great Western Railway.
What did the work as a signalman involve doing back then?
In those days, the signalman worked in the signal box, and he controlled the traffic. Yeah. If a freight train came along, then there was a danger that that freight train would stop a passenger train behind him. Then a signalman would cross that freight train into a siding, let the passenger train go by, and then let the freight train out again. They don't do that anymore. My two sons, my grandfather was a Great Western Railwayman, my father was a Great Western Railwayman, my mother's four brothers were Great Western Railwaymen, I was a Great Western Railwayman, and my two sons were Great Western Railwaymen.
Oh, they are.
And they've both retired. But the eldest one was a signal and telegraph engineer. He's now 68, and he's still being called back to do jobs. He's not the Great Western Railway anymore, because he's just outside Southampton living. But they use, when they call him up and say, will you come back, Peter, for a week or two? We can't find anybody that can measure a rail,
right?
Because they're conning him, or tried to. Yeah. But he spends a lot of time in Ireland.
Yes.
Working on the Irish railways. Right. He's just come back from remodeling a signal box that had 70 levers in it, but he had to remodel it with only 10.
Right.
Taking all those levers out. Yeah. But
what can you tell me about the railway lines locally that have closed down to Abbotsbury and things?
The railways to Easton was still going. I signal trains across there when I was, like, when I finished up in Weymouth Signal Box. The Abbotsbury branch was still going, the Bridport branch was still going, the branch from Yeovil to Taunton was still going.
What did those branches do? Were they freight or
no, they were both freight and passenger train. Yeah. But the Taunton branch should never have been closed, and the Abbotsbury branch should never have been closed, and the road and the line from Yeovil to Taunton should never have been closed. If you want to go anywhere in Cornwall now, it's a 24-hour journey.
Yes.
I mean, you used to go to Yeovil, change, go to Taunton, in a few hours you was wherever you wanted to go.
Yes.
And now you can either go to Westbury in Wiltshire, change, or you go to Bristol and change.
Yes.
And you've got to go all the way round to get down to Cornwall. But politicians still don't know anything about railways, and they didn't in them days when they did that. Otherwise, they would have never closed those lines.
Yeah.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah. What do you know about your grandfather's time working on the railways?
My grandfather was in the engineering department at Weymouth.
Yeah.
And they were digging a trench across the line at Weymouth Station, and the trench collapsed and he was buried in the trench, but he was got out alive.
Yeah.
He's okay. Yeah. And his four sons were all railwaymen.
Yes.
They all followed him. And my son very often says to me now, "Dad, if you was to come back, you'd sack the management." that was lovely. Yeah. But
what do you think has changed in village life in Upway since you were a small child here?
I don't think. I mean, I've lived in villages in Somerset and in Wiltshire. I very often think that the people in the villages are not so friendly as what they were when I was younger. Teddy Ains, the blacksmith, very often when we did meet, he'd put his hand in his pocket and he'd say, "Bill, I knew your dad, they're sixpence."
Yes.
And Irby Cox, who used to keep the Royal Oak, that was at the bottom of Ridgeway.
Yes.
And the council knocked it down because they was going to do away with the corner.
Yes.
Well, they knocked the pub down, but they've never done away with the corner. And local politicians are the same now as what they've always been. Yeah.
In those days, there were a lot more tradesmen working in the village. Can you say a bit?
Yes.
Who else do you remember?
There was tradesmen of every trade in Upway.
Yes.
I mean, there was a shop in Church Street, some Samways that run it.
Yes.
There was a post office in Elwood Street that Janie Corbin ran.
I live in Mr. Lovering's butcher's shop.
Frank Bowditch was the butcher.
Yes.
And Barber's was the grocer's.
Yeah.
And I don't remember a bank in Upway or Broadway.
No, I don't think so.
But there was post office.
Yeah.
And I won't tell you the names, but because I expect some of their relations are still around. But one of the tradesmen went into Janie Corbin one afternoon. It was on a Friday, and he'd come to draw money to pay his staff. And he said, "I want to draw so much money, Janie." She said, "You haven't got any money, John." He said, "Yes, I have." "No, you haven't. Your wife has been and drawn it all out." So, yeah, so I don't act it out. But Canon Gildy was a Church of England man.
Yes.
He used to drive around the village with a pony and trap. But after the First Great War, he not only visited Church of England people, but he used to visit all the widows whose husbands had been killed in the war. So he used to drive up Old Roman Road and come outside and see my mother. But I was stood outside the... I've always played with a ball. Any game that used a ball, Bill was there.
Yes.
And I used to spend time outside of the house kicking a ball up against Teddy Ainge's blacksmith shop wall. And I was outside kicking the ball, and a man walked up and he said, "Is your mother in?" So I poked my head in through the door and I shouted out, "Mum, a man to see you." So Mum came out and the man gave her a bag and he said, "There's a rabbit in there, Mrs. Squibb. Make a meal for your children."
Yes.
So when I became a chapel preacher, I used to go to Sherborne a lot to preach. And there was a man there who used to take walks across the golf course. And he would walk through the rough grass. And if he put his foot on a golf ball, he'd pick it up, put it in his pocket.
Yes.
And I played golf from when I was 10 till I was 87.
Right.
And every time I went there to preach, after the service, he would come up and he would say, "Yeah, Bill, there's a bag of golf balls." And I made a joke of that because I used to preach that I was serving the Lord to win a crown. I said, "My dad preached for a rabbit, and I preached for a bag of golf balls." Yeah.
Where did you play golf?
Came Down, and I'm still a member there.
Yes.
So I don't play anymore, but I'm still a member there. But we live in a flat at Weymouth now. We've been there about 12 months, unfortunately. My wife is no longer with me. We were both over 90, but a few weeks ago she had a stroke and she died.
Oh,
but we were both over 90, so I'm not finding fault with God, because we had a great life, a great life together. But don't grow old, your brain wears out.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything else I tell you. What I'm going to tell you something.